Welcome to the Hall of Prophecy. From this hall, we have a bird's eye view to the world. More importantly, we see the world through the lens of Scripture. In a recent study of more than 200 countries, it was reported that there are more than 2 billion Christians around the world, representing nearly a third of the estimated global population of 6.9 billion. However, it is a sobering fact that at this moment, an estimated 100 million Christians are being persecuted worldwide for their faith in Jesus Christ. But persecution for one's faith is nothing new. The history of redemption through Jesus Christ has been written in the blood of her martyrs. You see, choosing to follow Christ can come at a heavy price. It certainly did for the first followers of Jesus.
The 12 disciples traveled far and wide as heralds of the message of the risen Christ. They suffered greatly for their faith and in most cases met violent deaths as a result of their bold witness for Christ. James, the son of Zebedee's death is recorded in Acts, where it is told that Herod Agrippa killed him with a sword. The emperor Nero had Peter crucified upside down at Peter's request. Andrew preached the gospel in what was the Soviet Union and then throughout Turkey and Greece before he was crucified. Thomas sought to reach the area east of Syria and preached as far east as India before he was wounded by a spear and then burned to death. Philip took the message of salvation into North Africa and then Asia Minor before he was tortured and crucified by a Roman proconsul. Matthew ministered in Persia and Ethiopia before he was beheaded. James, the brother of Jesus, was cast down from off the temple walls in Jerusalem. Nathanael, known as Bartholomew, was a missionary to Turkey and was martyred for his preaching in Armenia, being flayed and whipped to death. James, the son of Alphaeus, ministered in Syria before he was stoned and then clubbed to death. Simon the Zealot ministered in Persia and was killed after refusing to sacrifice to another god. And then there was John the Beloved, the only one of the disciples that, though persecuted and tortured for his faith, was not martyred, but exiled to the Isle of Patmos. And as we have learned, it is while John was on the Isle of Patmos that he received the revelation of Jesus Christ, which is the book of Revelation.
When we take a close look into the pages of John's prophetic text, we see that even in the earth's final days, men and women who come to know Christ during the tribulation period will experience untold suffering and persecution. So who are these faithful, these tribulation Christians, who will willingly give their lives for faith in Jesus Christ? The martyrs, agents of the apocalypse.
In just a few moments, Dr. Jeremiah uncovers the prophetic truth of the martyrs, the mysterious characters found in the book of Revelation, agents of the apocalypse. Discover the identity of all 10 of these crucial figures in Dr. David Jeremiah's best-selling book, Agents of the Apocalypse, a riveting look at the key players of the end times. Grab a front-row seat to the cataclysmic clash of heaven and earth and witness the mysteries of Revelation unfold. Come face-to-face with these agents of the end times, some who have lived, some who will live, and some who could be living today. Order your copy of Agents of the Apocalypse today when you give a gift of any amount in support of this program. And if your gift totals $60 or more, Dr. Jeremiah will thank you for your support by sending you the Agents of the Apocalypse study set. You will receive the Agents of the Apocalypse book, Dr. Jeremiah's current teaching series on 10 CDs or DVDs, a correlating study guide, and the Revelation Prophecy Chart. Order Agents of the Apocalypse, a riveting look at the key players of the end times, for a gift of any amount, or the Agents of the Apocalypse study set for a gift of $60 or more. Contact Turning Point today.
thank you for watching Agents of the Apocalypse here on Turning Point. In appreciation of your viewership, Dr. Jeremiah would like to send you the Revelation Prophecy Chart, absolutely free. Contact Turning Point today. And now, here is Dr. Jeremiah with his message, The Martyrs.
All of the apostles, with the exception of John, were martyred for their faith. Only the apostle John was allowed to live out his life, and he did so as an exile on the island of Patmos and wrote this book by revelation from God. The Bible says, when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Who are these martyrs? Who are these who are slain? Well, if you read the text carefully, you discover that John places them in the future, after the church of Jesus Christ has already been raptured and the dead in Christ have been resurrected. So these martyrs in Revelation chapter 6 are not from this age, the church age. They are not from the age in which we are now living. And since the martyrs ask for judgment upon their oppressors who are still on the earth, their murderers are obviously still living during the tribulation period. So these martyrs are faithful saints who are killed during the 7 years of tribulation on this earth. During the 7 year tribulation period, many Jews will return to God, and those who trust in God at that time will be called upon to demonstrate their faith, often with their very lives. Revelation 12:11 says, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. In other words, they would not hold on to their lives and give up their faith. And Jesus spoke of this particular time of intense suffering in his Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew 24, he said, all these are the beginning of sorrows. They will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake, and many will be offended and betray one another and hate one another. Now, why are they martyred? What is the cause of their martyrdom? I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain. Now, watch this. For the word of God and for the testimony which they held. These saints in the tribulation period are going to be sacrificed on the altar of their devotion to God and their witness and adherence to the word of God. We must remember that when the church is raptured, the restraint of the Holy Spirit will be removed from this earth. And the rulers of that day will target the followers of Christ and vent their anger against them as they vent their anger against Almighty God. The testimony that they held is likely a reference to the judgment that these believers will preach. As the events of the tribulation intensify, they will not back away. They will warn that even more severe judgment is to come, as they have become Christians and have understood the word of God and understood the prophecies of the future. They will warn their fellow travelers on planet Earth that if you think this judgment is bad, you better get right with God because it's going to get worse. They will preach repentance and reckoning, and they will be killed for their message, the cause of their martyrdom. Notice the consequences of it. Once again, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God. At this point in John's account, he looks from earth back to heaven, and the word he uses to describe the death of these saints is a word that is translated by the word slain, but a better word would be the word slaughtered. It's a sacrificial word which speaks of the special nature of these Jewish witnesses. To the world, they are slaughtered, but to God, they are offered as a sacrifice to him. They gave their lives for the Lord, and the Lord looked upon them as his. They are his martyrs. And then there's the cry of martyrdom in the next verse, verse 10. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on this earth? The tribulation will be a time when the judgment of God will be meted out against those who took the lives of these martyrs. And so they're crying out, Lord, how long before you're going to do this? We're waiting, Lord, for you to wreak judgment on these people who violated you and us in the process. And the Lord says, it's not time yet. We have to wait till all of the martyrdom is done. When it's all finished and everybody's been martyred, who's going to be martyred, we'll take care of business. Now notice at the end, the comfort of their martyrdom. And this is the cool part of this text. Verse 11 says that they're in heaven now, having given their lives for the Lord, having given up their lives instead of giving up their faith. And a white robe was given to each of them. And it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer until both the numbers of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was completed. If you'll notice this verse carefully, and one of the verses I want to add in a moment, there are five things that God does for these who give their lives for their faith. First of all, he provides a place of refuge for them. They are protected. They are in refuge. They are safe. No one can ever touch them again. The refuge. Notice they're given a robe. God, in his gracious love and mercy, rewards each martyr with a white robe. Now, if you read this carefully, you have to ask yourself, if these are souls under the altar, how in the world do they wear a robe? You can't put a robe on a ghost, except in the movies. So obviously, they are given some sort of a temporary body while they are there. It's not their resurrection body. It's not the body they will have throughout eternity. But in this interim period, these martyred saints are given some sort of intermediate body, and the Bible says a robe is placed upon them. And then it says they're given rest. When the martyrs ask how long it will be until their deaths are avenged, they are told to rest for a little while. Now, how many of you know that's a wonderful thing to think about, but most of us don't know anything about it. I'm not really good at resting, are you? But every once in a while when you do and you experience the beauty and blessing of it, you think, why don't I do this more often? Here's one of my favorite verses in the New Testament book of Revelation. I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. Sometimes in the ministry, there are periods of great intensity. This has been one such period for me. And I was getting a vicarious blessing reading these verses this week, that there is a time of rest. It's not now, maybe not in my lifetime, but in due time, we'll get to rest from our labors and our works do follow us. So there's refuge under the altar. There's a robe they put on. There's the rest, and then there's retribution. Notice the scripture tells us that God is going to judge these who have mistreated his faithful servants. Revelation 14 says, thrust his sickle into the earth and gather the vine of the earth and threw it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trampled outside the city and blood came out of the winepress up to the horses' bridles for 1,600 furlongs. This picture of judgment is one of the most graphic descriptions of God's wrath against the evil deeds of humanity in the Bible. You know, I've had a new perspective on that this week and during these days that I've been studying this. Sometimes we think judgment is wrong, and how can a God who is a loving God ever judge anybody? And how does this fit the picture that we want to have of God? But I want to remind you, men and women, a God who will not judge evil cannot be a God. A God who does not see evil as that which needs to be punished cannot be holy and righteous. The God we have is both a loving God and a God of justice, and his judgment is as much a product of his love as his mercy and his grace. If you don't see that, you will always have a warped attitude about God. You will always see God as kind of like grandfather in the sky who pats everybody on the head and says, now, don't do that anymore. But that's not the God we serve. I could have no respect for such a God. My God loves me, but I also know I stand before him. He's a holy and righteous God, and I stand in awe of who he is. And then there's a reward. The martyred saints will be honored in heaven forever. But even before that, listen to this,
before they're honored in heaven forever, they're going to be honored on earth. And I kind of pull this out of another text in the book of Revelation because it's so very pointed about this particular thing. Let me read to you from the 20th chapter of Revelation, verses 4 and 5. I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Now watch this carefully. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshiped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. Now watch. And they lived and they reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. So these who have given their lives for their faith during the tribulation period, these martyred saints, the Bible says that during the 1,000-year reign of Christ on this earth, they are going to be reigning and living with Christ throughout the whole world and given a place of honor, maybe even on the thrones that are mentioned at the beginning of the verse. There's a reward for those who serve the Lord. It isn't just in ancient history that people die for their faith. It's not even just in the future, in the tribulation, that people will die for their faith. Men and women, Christians around the world today are suffering for their faith. In fact, we have a tendency, if we're not careful, to put most martyrdom in an old dusty book called Fox's Book of Martyrs. And we think it's up on the shelf to remind us that in the dark ages, in the days past, a lot of people gave their lives for what they believed. And so we, because we live in a rather safe environment here in America, we put martyrdom up on the shelf in the history, and we don't realize what is going on today. So I want to give you some sobering facts from the research that I've done on this subject. Studies from several organizations show that in our world today, a Christian is martyred every 4 to 5 minutes. More Christians were martyred in the 20th century than in all previous centuries combined. According to conservative estimates, between 7,000 and 8,000 Christians are martyred for their faith every year. Let me give you a little perspective on that. This auditorium seats 2,000 people. Fill this auditorium up 4 times with people, and that number of people are the number of people who are being killed every year because they say they are Christians. Do you know that in North Korea it is illegal to be a Christian, and some 50,000 Christians have been sent to labor camps because of their faith? In 2013, nearly 300 churches were destroyed and 612 Christians were killed in Nigeria. More than 1 million of the 1.5 million Christians in Iraq have fled the country since the fall of Saddam Hussein due to increasing persecution. Back in August of 2013, following the ousting of President Morsi, the Muslim Brotherhood was responsible for burning 38 churches, damaging 23 in an upsurge in violence against Coptic Christians. I started out with about 5 pages of statistics, and I just boiled them down to 4 or 5 of the ones that seemed most meaningful to me. Well, men and women, we live in a time when it is no longer popular to be a Christian. And it's, you may think that that's not true, but if you just stop and think about the way it was maybe 10 years ago and the way it is now, there is more tolerance for just about anyone in our culture today than there is for a person who says, I am a born-again Christian. I remember as a young man growing up that when you said you were a Christian, people may not have wanted to be one, but they respected you because you were one. That's no longer true. As we can see from history and from current events, persecution and martyrdom are the norm for Christians. And as Revelation 6 shows us, it is also the norm for the future. The dark lord of this fallen world cannot tolerate opposition to his program to take out everything that's good and everything that's godly. And so he stands against anyone who will so live. These martyrs, past, present, and future, provide ample examples of courage that should inspire us to a deeper commitment to Christ and a determination to stand strong for him, no matter what the cost. Maybe you work in a place where you feel like you take some heat because of your faith. Maybe you've been getting some pushback from your neighbors. But when you see what our forefathers have done for us. You know, we stand on their shoulders. Do you not know that? We're here today in this place worshiping the Lord God without any armed guards around, because some folks before us were willing to pay the price for their faith. You know, many people, they want to be Christians, but not so Christian. You know, they want to live their lives enough Christian to get some of the benefits, but not so Christian that they get any criticism. So they straddle the fence with one foot over here and one foot over here, and they try to be not so Christian. Those who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Now, men and women, most of us, let's face it, in this room, we're not going to be asked to give our lives for what we believe. We're not going to be asked to die for our faith. But Almighty God has asked us to live for our faith. In many respects, it's harder to live for your faith than it is to die for your faith. When you die for your faith, it's over. But you got to live for your faith every single day, don't you? You got to get up every day and say, Lord God, I love you. I want to live for you. I want to serve you today. Help me to bring your influence wherever I go, and not to do anything today that denies who you are or brings reproach upon your name. And then day by day, you live like that with all your heart. The truth of the prophetic scripture casts its shadow before it. Why does God give us these stories? To help us see where this is all headed, so that once we know where it's all headed, we can back up and say, okay, we're in the chute headed that way. Let's be strong. Let's be courageous. Let's be men and women of God who are not afraid to stand up for what we believe. Let me give you the most encouraging illustration of that in all the Bible. You remember in the book of Daniel, the three Hebrew children were told that they were to bow down before the king in his image, and they refused to do it. And then they're brought before the tribunal, and they're going to be thrown into the fiery furnace because of their unwillingness to bend to the desires of the wicked king. And they gave a little speech. It's my favorite speech in all the Bible. Here it is. Well, if that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. And if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. Take that. And God, as you know, did deliver them. Well, you see, they were ready, if God didn't deliver them, to say, we are not going to give ground here to the enemy. We're going to stand for what we believe. I still believe this Bible means what it says. I still believe that if it says it, it means it. We should read it and then do it. But those of us who believe like that are becoming, I don't have an Elijah complex, but we're becoming fewer and fewer. So I just want to encourage you to stand for what you believe. And I know that when you do that, you will encourage me to do that. We live in a very troubled and difficult day. And what the world is looking for are some people like those about whom we have spoken in the tribulation, and the three Hebrew children in the Old Testament who, in face of the enemy's threats, stand in the power of God, on the word of God, and acknowledge their allegiance to God. May God help us all to be men and women who have steel in our souls to stand for the truth.
Dr. Jeremiah will return with one more inspirational word to close today's program right after this.
You've just heard Dr. Jeremiah uncover the prophetic truth of the martyrs, the mysterious characters found in the book of Revelation, agents of the apocalypse. Discover the identity of all 10 of these crucial figures in Dr. David Jeremiah's best-selling book, Agents of the Apocalypse, a riveting look at the key players of the end times. Grab a front row seat to the cataclysmic clash of heaven and earth and witness the mysteries of Revelation unfold. Come face to face with these agents of the end times, some who have lived, some who will live, and some who could be living today. Order your copy of Agents of the Apocalypse today when you give a gift of any amount in support of this program. And if your gift totals $60 or more, Dr. Jeremiah will thank you for your support by sending you the Agents of the Apocalypse study set. You will receive the Agents of the Apocalypse book, Dr. Jeremiah's current teaching series on 10 CDs or DVDs, a correlating study guide, and the Revelation Prophecy Chart. Order Agents of the Apocalypse, a riveting look at the key players of the end times, for a gift of any amount, or the Agents of the Apocalypse study set for a gift of $60 or more. Contact Turning Point today.
And now, with one last word for today's program, here is Dr. Jeremiah.
What a testament of the power of God's Word, that even in the horror of the tribulation, the Bible will stand strong and continue winning souls for Christ. And through the testimony of those courageous martyrs, the world will see that faith in the one true God is worth living and dying for. I believe the Bible teaches that God in His mercy will spare Christians from the events of the tribulation. Will you be among those raptured away into His presence when Christ returns? You will be if you've accepted Jesus as your Savior. To help you grow in your relationship with Christ, I'd like to send you two resources. The first is our booklet called Your Greatest Turning Point, and the second is our monthly devotional magazine, Turning Points. They're yours at no charge when you contact us today.
In addition to these free study resources, nothing is as profound as the Word of God. And now, Dr. Jeremiah has a Bible for every member of the family. There are numerous versions of the Jeremiah Study Bible, perfect for adults and teens. And the Airship Genesis Kids Study Bible will bring the truth of God's Word to the young ones in your life. Contact Turning Point for more information or to order today.
Next time on Turning Point.
There is a wonderful truth that God loves us and He's able to save us. And even in the midst of the stress of this world, we can live a positive, Christ-honoring, productive life that will bring joy to our hearts and glory to His name.
Thank you for being with us today. Join us next time for Dr. Jeremiah's message, The 144,000, here on Turning Point.